Be seated, please. Well, I'm sorry you weren't in Bible study this morning, those of you who are not. We pretty much beat that gospel reading to death. My son Ben is preaching somewhere, I can't remember. He's celebrating Eucharist somewhere this morning. And he said he had read one commentary that said, this parable is actually, the commentators in the Oxford Annotated Bible said, is really a mashup of two different parables. And they stopped their commentary at that point. Didn't try to make sense of it at all. I have. And in Bible study, I said, well, it's been 48 years since I was ordained. I've probably preached that 16 times I've come up against this. And I've tried just about everything with it, tried to explain things away, tried to make it come off better than it does. And I'm not doing that today. The collect for today is the shortest one of all of those that are appointed for our Sundays during the church year. It focuses on two aspects of Christian belief and practice, God's grace and our good works. Grace is divine, unmerited. Good works, our mission, is our response to that grace and our reason for being in the world. With that dual emphasis in mind, we can read this part of Isaiah's prophecy to mean that God will remove all impediments that stand in the way of our doing God's will. One would have to be incredibly hard-hearted not to see some irony of that prophetic promise in the face of the recent, not recent, but current, ongoing violence in and surrounding the land of Israel. And I mean that for all inhabitants of the region, especially innocent children, women, and men who just happen to live in a place where those in power are mutually destroying not only the state, the land, but also the inner peace of those inhabitants. It must make no more sense to these innocent people, Israelis and Palestinians alike, than today's gospel makes to me. I'll get to that again, reluctantly, in a minute. Making our way through these readings, the next up is undoubtedly the best known of all of the 150 Psalms in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. Which sounds a lot like the petition in the collect, that God's grace may precede and follow us. The psalm sits there on the pages of our bulletin alongside Paul's sweet and grateful message to the Philippians. The two, the psalm and that passage from Philippians, nestle between scenes of death and destruction. The 23rd psalm itself conjures up an image of peace and tranquility in the midst of enmity and desolation. A stroll beside a calm, cooling stream in the valley of death's shadow. Paul's letter to the Philippians is unusual in that he is not chiding them for misbehavior or negligence, but commending them for their support of the gospel and especially their support of him and his ministry. But even this love letter is written from his prison cell, most probably in Rome. So it's not surprising that this twisted tale, a self-defined parable, we're told, Jesus tells another parable, should confront us in Matthew. Some biblical scholars, as I've said, seems like it's two put together that don't fit together very well. As it stands, it is, as far as I'm concerned, a conglomeration of extreme behavior by host and guests and potential guests, invited, uninvited, disinvited. Innocent slaves being killed by those who forgot to send in their RSVPs or even regrets only. A magnanimously invited man cast into the outer darkness because he violated the dress code, and so on. As I said before in past sermons, I've delved into why that last bit, the dress code, happened and what it symbolizes and why Jesus tells the story, but today I simply don't care. Or at least I don't feel so inclined to tangle with this. I'm just flabbergasted by all these depictions of violence and bad behavior, to put it mildly, intermingled, tears wiped away, appeals for rejoicing, feasting tables, and broad invitations for everyone to join the party. It's confusing, bewildering, head-spinningly disorienting. I wish the message seemed clearer, more consistent to me than it does this time around, but it doesn't. And maybe that is the message, at least as it hits me this time around. Maybe the setup for the message. Chaos abounds in the Middle East, as we call it, or the world, as it was known to biblical writers. Cruel and insane politics obtains in that part of the world and in our own country, well, in the world at large. And not only now, but also at practically every moment in history. Whether intended or not, that seems to be an overarching theme in these readings. The world's a mess, peopled by factions of humans in conflict with one another. It's at least half the story. If we resist reacting in predictably human ways, we can step more lightly as we pass through all this. We can see God's grace at work in acts of heroism, wiping away our tears, accompanying us in walks beside gently rolling streams, real or imagined, sending us companions in our struggles, inviting us into God's own banquet hall, bringing us peace that's beyond our understanding in the midst of chaos. Despite all odds, God brings us peace, calls us to be bearers of that peace to others. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.